Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Once at a family wedding, I was out on the dance floor with some relatives. And I looked over at Jessica, who had this big smile on her face, as if she knew something that the rest of the room did not. And so I wanted in, and I said, "What is so funny?" And she was polite about this. She didn't have to be, but she was pretty polite about this. She said, "You, your dad, and your grandma all dance like this." I'm like, what's wrong with this, right? You know, it's like we just stay in the zone, right? We're kind of in the middle here. But I never realized that. All three generations there just kind of like, you know, we're just staying right here, not doing too much, not getting too fancy here. And so since then, we have labeled it the McDevitt Shuffle. You can find us on any dance floor. Now, anyone who has ever subscribed to a service like Ancestry.com has done the DNA sample knows that along with casting a broader net to discover relatives, you get a list of traits that could have been passed down through your DNA. These are traits related to personality, sensory, perception, appearance, and performance. And wouldn't you know, there were two DNA traits very evident on that dance floor. The first trait is enjoying dancing, and the second is the ability to perform choreography, a skill that involves being a good dancer. I'm here to report that the McDevitt DNA, sorry Jamie, Jordan, and Taylor, enjoys dancing, but we're not good at it. But I will say we're pretty entertaining. Either through nature or nurture, those who have come before us have passed something on. They pass along hobbies such as singing, crafting, or carpentry. They pass on the love of a particular sports team, an interest in reading, or a passion for cooking or baking certain types of food. Some pass on businesses such as a printing business or a sugar waffle stand. Yes, they even pass on things that are beyond our control, such as our size, our weight, the color of our hair, whether we have hair, and yes, even our dancing skills to a degree are all influenced by nature and nurture. So what does this mean? It means we need to examine ourselves to understand that those who have gone before us, because of them, we are who we are. And part of us lives in those yet to be. Mental health experts are uncovering new findings in the way of trauma. That those deep, deep experiences of distress can alter our DNA and can be passed on to children or grandchildren. This transition can occur at an individual level within a family structure. It can also happen at a societal level when a group of people experiences oppression or enslavement, exclusion or persecution. Meaning that the laws and tactics of enforcement can inflict trauma not only on one person separated from their family or from excessive force being used, but on generations of bodies and minds yet to be. So again, why does that matter? It means we need to examine ourselves, our communities, to understand those who have gone before us because we are them, They are us, and we are part of lives that have yet to be. Maya Angelou once said, "No one can know where they are, where they are going, unless they know exactly where they have been and exactly how they arrived at the present place." To understand where we are and how we arrived, a part of us needs to discover who came before us and to learn from their experiences, especially as we navigate life's twists and turns, both personally and communally. All Saints' Day is about remembering people who are no longer with us. But as people of faith, it has to be more than that. It is a time to take seriously, to consider how they lived and what they have passed on to us while they were alive. We often associate saints with being perfect, blameless, wearing a halo, and having this white glow behind us, or as Will said, this whiteness maybe behind them. We first think of the designation of saint, Saint Francis or Saint Bridget or Mother Teresa. However, it wasn't until 993 CE that there was officially a canonized saint. And so that Greek word, hagios, translated here in Ephesians that means saint, metaphorically means moral, virtuous, someone who strives to do the right thing. As people of faith who follow Christ, one way we measure this saintly living is our closeness to the life and teachings of Jesus. For through Jesus, God shows us how to be human. In the early church, anyone who followed Christ, living or dead, was considered a saint. Not that they lived like Christ all the time, but they got it right some of the time. Like Jesus, they lived in solidarity with the poor, the hungry, the immigrant, and the unhoused. Like Jesus, some of them tended to the sick or looked upon others with a compassion that could heal. Like Jesus, some were committed to the ways of justice, creating communities of welcome, even when it was dangerous or unlawful to do so. There were times when their lives were united, made one with Christ, by the ways they chose to live that love in the world. So for us this morning, we reflect on a love that has been passed down from Christ, a love that requires no special credentials or accomplishments, a love that feeds everyone who comes through their door, a love that meets children where they are, who fosters curiosity of creation, a love that can drum up a conversation with any stranger in any grocery store checkout line, a love that gets down with grandchildren to play with wooden blocks, a love that shows up to help move someone, to build, fix, or repair, a love that recognizes and names injustice, who risks their well-being for the well-being of others. The saints did not always get this right, but that is not our focus. We ask this morning, when did they get it right? When did they shine Christ's light? How did they pass the presence and power of Christ onto us this morning? This week, our church held the funeral service for Kathy Conrad. She was a longtime member of Grace, very active in this church. She helped at church events, both the big ones and some smaller ones, a worker bee who stepped in to do the work that needed to be done. When the secretary was out, she came in to answer phones. She was also in charge of collecting memorial funds for many, many years, a job a lot of people don't raise their hand for. COVID changed a lot of patterns in life. Even though she hadn't been attending in person, she has been singing the hymns, praying the prayers with us online until very recently. Committed to her covenant to serve people and the ministry of our church, she indeed revealed the hands and feet of Christ. However, there is something we do every single week that bears her fingerprints. Every week in our time of prayer, you may notice we pray for the military and their families. Kathy was proud of her son, a service member, and her daughter, who was a supportive spouse of a service member. But Kathy, like any mother, was worried about their safety and well-being. So after weeks of putting her son and her daughter on the prayer chain, she decided to include all children who serve, all spouses who serve. And so with every worrying parent or relative, the church continues to pray for their well-being week after week, their physical well-being and their mental well-being. Do you notice the shift that she leaves for us from me to us? This is a saintly shift. That's what the saints do. They expand our capacity for compassion. They deepen our ability to love, even our enemies. Maybe this morning you've already thought of somebody, a saint that you're feeling rather connected to. And so I invite you to take just 20 seconds to close your eyes. And I invite you to connect with them this morning, to think about how did they live their life in a way that helped you encounter God's love. What about them made you say, yes, I want to be more like that. I want that trait, that quality, that deepness and affinity for life. All Saints Day is not just remembering, but reorienting. In reflecting, we who are still living can reorient our living to reflect the best of those who came before us. In remembering, we who are still living can choose to be guided by the ways that they lived. And by doing so, we reorient ourselves to the Christ who has been passed down from generation to generation to generation to you. You stand as a recipient of this legacy of love. It's who the saints were, and it's who you are. It has been passed down to you. It is in your DNA. So Paul writes in this morning's letter to the Ephesians, who are living in a time of persecution, living in a time when standing in solidarity with the oppressed is dangerous, when people in power believe their authority or dominion is greater than even God's. Can we imagine living in such a time? Paul writes this, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And because of that, Paul says this, you have inherited enlightened hearts, so that even now you may perceive hope. The saints live with us. They continue to guide us and unite us with Christ. Let them. Look down the line of generations and see that you are part of the same dance that they danced. And unlike the McDevitt Shuffle, this dance is beautiful. And it leads to wholeness and communal well-being. It is a dance of love, peace, inclusion, and justice. And through you, the love of Christ is passed on. Amen. Amen.